Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks so much for joining us this week. A jam-packed program today with a focus on the great state of Illinois. We'll hear from Philip Alberti, ag educator with University of Illinois Extension, as well as Rachel Berry, CEO of Illinois Hemp Growers Association. Both guests will discuss the 2019 hemp growing season and a look ahead at 2020. Let's get started with Rachel Berry. Rachel, how you doing this week?
I'm doing really great. Thanks, Jason.
Well, fantastic. And thanks for being on the program. We're going to spotlight Illinois this week. We'll have Philip Alberti on momentarily. So we want to talk with you first. You're with the CEO of the Illinois Hemp Growers Association. Tell us a little bit about the Hemp Growers Association in Illinois and what you guys do and some of your goals.
Yeah, so we're the Illinois Hemp Growers Association. We're a benefit corporation. We're working to educate farmers, legislators, community members, the media, anybody who's interested really about hemp, about the potential of this industry and how hemp can aid our local ecology, our local economy, and our community as a whole.
And I know the organization has been there a little over a year, so you guys did experience the first year of hemp growing in Illinois. So you had a lot of people, I'm sure, coming in, scratching their head, no idea what they were getting into. Now we're a year later. Tell us a little bit about the progress from the beginning until now that some of these farmers have went through. You've obviously, I'm sure, seen a lot of people, had a lot of people come up to you and say a lot of different things. Tell us a little bit about that and kind of the gamut of what you experienced there.
Sure. Well, there's the whole experience of getting acquainted with a new crop. So that was a bit of a hurdle. And then there was some weather issues. That was a hurdle. These farmers, they pulled through this year. A lot of them were really successful. Some of them, they had their issues, of course, as to be expected. But I think the enthusiasm has definitely carried into 2020. And we expect to see a lot of farmers continuing to grow and a lot of farmers jump on after learning some of the trials and errors of farmers this past year.
Do you see the farmers taking advantage of the expos and the education programs that you put on there with the Illinois Hemp Growers Association?
Oh, absolutely. There's been a ton of interest for Illinois expos and educational opportunities. We did about 30 of them in 2019, and it doesn't seem like the need for education is slowing down at all.
Well, of course, you're going to have new people getting in. And again, we had the pioneers last year putting those seeds in the ground, and some folks had to burn their crops. They could not find anywhere to sell them. We certainly don't want to see that happen again, or at least see it happen very little, if possible. And again, a little bit of education can go a long way in figuring out how to prevent that from happening. But you do have some events coming up, actually as soon as today, being Thursday, the February 6th for folks listening right now. Talk a little bit about that. On the 10th, you've got an event, and on the 13th, tell us what those are and how folks can get involved.
Yeah, we got a lot of events coming up in the next couple months, but just in the next week, like you mentioned, today, Thursday the 6th, we'll be in Shelby County, and we'll be speaking with the Farm Bureau, to farmers and interested community members about growing industrial hemp as an alternative crop on your farm. Mm-hmm. Monday the 10th of February, we're going to be doing an AMA on Reddit. That's an Ask Me Anything. Mm-hmm. So we'll be open to asking or answering questions rather from the community about the Hemp Growers Association and about industrial hemp. And then on Thursday, February 13th, we are hosting the first IHGA members meeting, and we're so excited about that, to be able to hold space for, people in the community, our members, to come and meet each other and, discuss the year forward.
And before we get into some of the other issues, where can folks go and get information about these events and other upcoming events for you?
Sure. We have a Facebook page, and we're at Illinois Hemp Growers. And we also have a pretty decent website. That's IllinoisHGA.com. And all of the information is up on the website.
Okay, Rachel, I know one thing the state has done to try to make things a little easier for hemp growers and processors out there. They can submit their applications to grow or process hemp online at the Illinois Department of Ag website. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Applications for growing and processing are live, and the Illinois Department of Ag has a great website. The process for filling out your application online is very simple, very intuitive, and people should have no problem filling that out.
And again, we're speaking with Rachel Berry, CEO of the Illinois Hemp Growers Association, one of the folks out there trying to make hemp happen here in the United States. And Rachel, anything else we can touch on with the Illinois Hemp Growers and some of the things you guys have going on?
I think that covers what we're up to. Like I said, we have a lot of educational events coming up. Illinois did just have a new legislative initiative come out. HB 3906, I don't know if you want to talk about this,
sure.
HB 3906, the CBD Safety Act.
Mm-hmm.
This was introduced back in October, but it was just assigned to the Human Services Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And this is aiming to regulate CBD products. It looks like an attempt to adopt rules that are going to require CBD products to be labeled, stating that they're tested for things like potency, contamination, Delta 9 THC content. And common sense tells us, you know, we want our vendors, our CBD vendors, to be selling a product that, you know, meets regulation standards.
Sure.
But with this bill, they do have it in there that you can go to jail. So we, you know, this is something that definitely needs some attention from Illinois community. We don't want any farmers or vendors going to jail for their CBD products. So this is definitely something that's new on our radar. And we're going to be keeping up with it.
And that's, again, House Bill 3906. That is in Illinois, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
The CBD Safety Act.
Okay. And what can growers and those interested, what can they do to help out in this process to make the lawmakers aware of their opinion?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do as an individual. I mean, you can get in touch with the IHGA and help us sort through, and we can send information together as a group.
Mm-hmm.
You can write your legislators. You can write the sponsors of the bill. You can write, you could write a letter to the editor. It just depends on what your style is. But I definitely suggest, you know, getting in touch with the IHGA if you're concerned. You know, we can help move together and figure out something that makes sense.
All right. And Rachel, we'll let you go with one final question. What is your outlook on Illinois hemp for 2020?
I'm feeling really good about 2020. I'm really passionate about fiber, and it seems like the momentum to bring fiber to Illinois is starting to pick up. And I'm just super excited to see, you know, what happens. And I'm super excited to see our CBD growers, have year two.
Oh, absolutely. We certainly want the best for our growers, our farmers, everybody involved in the hemp industry. Again, it's it started out almost the blind leading the blind. Now everybody's got a little more education under their belts. They understand what's going on. And again, these events that you have, the events that in Indiana, the Midwest Hemp Council has, these are very important, and people should definitely show up for these and network and just pick each other's brains to find out what worked for you, what worked for me. Let's combine these ideas and make it work for everybody. And hopefully that's where we're getting here in 2020.
Absolutely. I agree.
All right. Once again, Rachel Berry, CEO of the Illinois Hemp Growers Association. Rachel, first time on the program. Great experience with you. Thanks for coming on. And we certainly look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. This was a lot of fun.
All right. Fantastic. We will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
All right. All right. As we continue on, we are speaking with Philip Alberti. Philip is the agriculture educator with the University of Illinois Extension. Philip, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks. And thanks for being on the program. We do want to extend our welcoming to the folks in Illinois. We don't get a chance to talk to a lot of you over there, so it's great to have you on the program. And I know you've got some limited time, so let's get right to it. Some of the things we wanted to discuss. First of all, top of the list, your harvest testing compliance. Tell us about that and what that means for hemp in Illinois.
Yeah, well, to grow industrial hemp across the country, you have to grow a hemp product that is compliant with the THC regulations of either the federal rules or the state, depending on which rules you're currently following.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so there's several ways you can go about it. The federal rules talk about total THC and using total THC as a threshold, whereas the state of Illinois, we are actually what's called a Delta 9 state, where we are testing Our compliance is based off of the results of laboratory testing with regards to Delta 9 THC. Mm-hmm. And in essence, what that means is the state of Illinois has been much more lax in terms of potency of the products that are going to market. And so it's been kind of a learning curve for folks who are going to be doing interstate commerce in and out of the state of Illinois, making sure that they're following the federal guidelines as well. And the best way I can kind of say that would be that pretty much all the hemp that's grown outside of the state of Illinois would be okay in the state of Illinois coming in. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the hemp that was grown in the state of Illinois would be technically considered marijuana if it goes over the state lines.
Does that mean that they're testing at over 0.3%?
Correct. So in the state of Illinois, we could be looking at something where it tests, 0.3% Delta 9 THC, which would pass. But the total THC values are actually much higher. And so the federal rules look at those total THC numbers, and still, if it's above 0.3%, it's considered marijuana. So it's just kind of a tricky way of making sure that people are reading the rules and regulations for the state and making sure that they are following the rules, whichever they are for the state federal rule.
Okay, so this obviously there's a difference then between the Illinois state rule as well compared to the federal rule. Is that something that you guys want to amend to make it more of the federal ruling, or you're just going to stand firm with what you come up with in Illinois?
That's a great question. So as of right now, the state of Illinois will still be a Delta 9 state for the 2020 growing season. Mm-hmm. However, we have plans to fold into essentially the federal rules and regulations for the 2021 growing season, which will make things quite a bit easier in terms of interstate commerce. So yes, that's a great question. I'm not exactly sure, which particular rules are going to be amended and how they will be amended. But the idea out there is that eventually the state of Illinois will be a total THC state, just like the rest of the country come 2021. And basically what that means is the growers have one more year to figure out the testing compliance and get ready for those more stringent, strict rules that we're going to be adopting after the 2020 growing season.
Got it. And of course, we know that's not going to be an easy process. But again, farmers are diligent, and we will find a way to make that happen. Now, Philip, if you can discuss some of the successes, some of the failures in 2019, of course, across the board, across the country, people had some problems with hemp. Other people had successes. Tell us a little bit about what went on in Illinois from your perspective.
Sure. So one of the big things I saw this year coming into the growing season is how we were going to plant this crop, if it was going to be direct seeded using some of our traditional planting equipment or using something like a vegetable transplanter, which is used in vegetable production like tomatoes and peppers, mm-hmm. which is traditionally what we think about when we think of high CBD hemp being grown. It looks more like a vegetable field than it does a row crop field. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of questions coming into the season with how expensive seed is. Do we want to direct seed it into the ground, or do we want to pay a premium for transplants and get a more successful crop?
Sure.
Have to pay more for input costs, right? And so what I saw, much to my not so much a surprise, but just to my delight, was that the growers in the state of Illinois found ways to make this work without having a manual or a guidebook. they went out there, they took their traditional knowledge of how to grow crops, whether it was from specialty crop production or from row crops, corn and beans, and taking what they knew and applied it to this new crop to make it work. We're years away from coming up with the best management practices manual at the university level, for a region, let alone, each individual state. And so they went out there, they tried a bunch of things, they used their know-how and just kind of matched their production knowledge with the new production system to make it work in the best way that they could. So with that, I saw some very successful fields that were direct seeded where producers decided, hey, I'm going to spend more on seeding costs to make sure I don't have to do the transplanting later on in the season. So they increased seeding rates perhaps to make it work, which was something we were a little concerned with because we didn't have the research to really back up the best way to do it. So a lot of growers use their know-how to be successful. Some said, hey, we're going to use transplants. We want to make sure we avoid that headache early in the season of putting $1 to $2 seed into the ground when we're seeding the stuff at, 1 to 2,000 plants per acre. Seeding costs can get very high. So just a tremendous amount of ingenuity from our growers across the state, which I got to see with my own eyes, which was a pleasant surprise. Just with that being said, you know, there were some successes, things that worked for some didn't work for others. And that's comes down to a lot of things, who did it and when they did it, and also what environmental conditions were around at the time. So I saw some direct seeded fields that looked immaculate, and I saw some that were a complete loss. And so it's tricky to say, you know, which way we want to go when getting involved in this new industry. But I guess my point, there's really no best way yet, and we're just kind of sticking it out on the fly.
Now, Philip, again, you're the agriculture educator with the University of Illinois Extension. Tell me how you got involved in hemp. What was your interest in getting involved in hemp? And was it just a job to you, or was it something you sought out?
That's a great question. Honestly, it kind of just happened. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was a product of right place, right time. Mm-hmm. So I actually grew up in Wisconsin, and they were a year ahead of the state of Illinois in legalizing industrial hemp for production. And I saw, you know, meetings that were being held there where people were traveling thousands of miles, hundreds of miles to get to these events. I'm not kidding. It was crazy. And so I thought, hey, you know, this is going to happen in the state of Illinois. Let's put on a production meeting. Let's put something together. I was new to the crop. I traditionally come from corn and soybean production. And so about a year ago, last March, we put on a hemp production event where I actually was just like everybody else, a member of the audience, and learned. And I spent what will be the next year now, spending every waking moment for this job, invested in learning the most I can about this crop, whether it's from other universities across the country, globally, even if I can apply some of the basic general considerations for brewers to maybe understand the plant a little bit better to help them while we're figuring things out. That's what I was going to do. So I started putting out educational meetings, and then throughout the growing season, just traveling every opportunity that I could to every grower who reached out to me. If I was in that area, I was going to get them and what they did to make it. The university was fantastic and allowed me to do that. And so I got a lot of hand experience this year, basically one whole year of from learning about seeing the experiences, working with growers and traveling around the state to now we're in the harvest and processing side of the industry. And so it's kind of coming full circle. In the last year alone, for educational programs, over 2,000 growers in the state of Illinois have come to programs just to learn about hemp and what it can do. For me, myself only. So a tremendous amount of interest. But that's a very long-winded way of me saying that it was right place, right time. I wanted to do the best that I could to help our growers in the state learn about this crop, maybe save some money along the way. And then it's kind of come into this passion project where I enjoy doing it. I'm learning new stuff every single day, and I just get to travel around educating people. So it's tremendously rewarding to do that.
Well, and certainly it is, your work is appreciated, as well as the input and the efforts from the universities that get involved. Here in Indiana, Purdue University, a very strong proponent. Of course, in Illinois, you have other proponents there, but you've got the University of Illinois involved, and that adds a lot of credibility and helps the farmers a lot. You guys, and we'll let you go here in a couple minutes, Philip. I know you've got some other pressing things you need to get to, but you've got a couple events coming up here soon that Illinois farmers and folks involved in hemp need to be aware of. The first one, the University of Illinois Extension in Freeport, having an event on March 24th, and then Southern Illinois University in Carbondale on March 28th. Can you talk about those two events?
Sure. So a lot of the informational programming that I've done in the last year has been very basic. What is hemp? How does it grow? And so now we're at the point where we've got it in our barns, and it's just sitting there in storage, or someone's holding on to it for us, and we got to get rid of it. How do we do that? Thoughts and considerations for the next growing season. And so now that we have a little bit of a baseline, these meetings are actually going to be a little bit more advanced for some of the growers who either have experience working with those in the industry or those who are really serious about getting into it. We're going to talk about everything from, you know, direct seeding out in the field to starting with transplants indoors. We're going to talk about extraction and processing. So all of that's going to be handled at both of these meetings. And the nice thing about it is, you know, we've had a lot of meetings in Central and Northern Illinois, but we're going to have these two kind of next level meetings at the top of the state up in Freeport, very north area, and then in the southern part of the state down in Carbondale. And so we wanted to kind of reach out to some of these areas and make sure that we're going across the state of Illinois to educate our stakeholders. So March 24th up in Freeport at the Highland Community College, and then March 28th, it's a Saturday, down in Carbondale, and that's going to be a collaboration between University of Illinois and Southern Illinois University.
All right, Philip, and before we let you go, I would love to get your prediction, your outlook for 2020 for hemp in Illinois.
You know, my prediction, I don't know if I have much of a prediction, but I can give some caution, I would say, is that we're going to have 1 year in the state of Illinois to really figure out what varieties are going to pass at the federal level without risking going hot, as they say, and having a crop that we have to destroy. I would urge the growers in the state of Illinois to pretend as if this is a year where we're following the more stringent federal rules and where we are planning for the future. If you're going to be serious about growing hemp in the state, I would urge growers to have an extractor or a processor lined up and know full well what their expectations are on the product that you're going to be giving to them at the end of the season. And if you can't find somebody to line up at the beginning of the season for your end product, only plant as much as you're willing to lose. And that's a little bit of doom and gloom, but that's as we're figuring out this market. I am urging growers to just be cautious, do your research, and make sure you truly understand how much work goes into this crop. It can be profitable with the right system in place and the right partners, but it can also be very expensive losses if you're not truly prepared. And don't treat this like corn and soy, where we can take it and just find somebody at the elevator to take it and buy us and cut us a check. There's a little bit more to it with industrial hemp. So I urge growers to reach out to those who are experienced, myself included. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer. And if I can't answer, I'll do my best to find you one.
Yeah, Philip, there could be no worse thing for a farmer, I would believe, than to spend an entire season growing a crop and then have to burn that crop. They're just, I mean, I can't imagine the feeling a farmer would have to watch that go up in flames, literally.
Absolutely. Start small. It's always easier to scale up. It's going to be harder to scale back once the damage is done. So just start small, an acre, you know, and give it a try and see how things go. But I'm optimistic for the future, but just be cautious right now. There's a lot of moving parts, and with federal rules in the state of Illinois coming, just make sure you're aware. And also always read the rules and follow the label.
There we go. Once again, Philip Alberti, the agriculture educator with University of Illinois Extension. Philip, some great information. We're very, very glad we were able to reach out and get in contact with you there in Illinois, and we certainly hope to have you back in the future.
Call me anytime. I'll be there.
Fantastic. And that's going to do it for our show this week. Thanks for listening and tuning in to the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bowes Public Affairs Group at Bowes, McKinney & Evans. You can find more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, as well as our entire catalog of podcasts, on our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more. So long, everybody.